Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. Do you find it interesting how totally unrelated events of life can get you to thinking about Bible stories and the words of Jesus? Beginning with today's lesson, I plan to spend some time with you thinking and studying about the life of Jesus. I doubt seriously if there's a better way that we could spend our time together. Just the other day, I was getting a haircut and I overheard the person in the next chair talking about her vacation. Evidently, she and her husband had been in some foreign country and they were viewing a sheep shearing event. There was this very large man, she said, who would sort of straddle the sheep and grab his ears, and somebody else would take the shears to him. Well, the lady was recounting how she had asked the tour guide about the personality traits of sheep, and her question was, "Are sheep always this docile?" Well, the tour guide, in a rather blunt fashion, responded, "Lady, if someone were to straddle you and grab your ears, you'd probably be docile too." Well, all of us had a pretty good laugh about that. But that conversation began me thinking about Jesus being called the Good Shepherd. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of John. Let's look at chapter 10, verse 1 through 18. That's John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 18. These are the words of Jesus. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. As a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he is saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hireling and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Jesus, then, is our good shepherd. And sheep have certain unique characteristics, whether we're talking from a physical standpoint or from a spiritual. Sheep are thus that need constant guidance. If they don't get that constant guidance, they'll get lost. Notice then, understanding that, how Jesus uses a quote from the book of Zechariah, chapter 13 and verse 7, to teach a spiritual lesson. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 31, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad." Sheep also are a very defenseless animal, and they need constant protection. Jesus also used that characteristic to teach the disciples to expect persecution when living the way Jesus was teaching them to live. Note Matthew the 10th chapter and verse 16. There the Bible reads, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Well, not only do sheep have unique characteristics, but shepherds have a unique relationship with their fold or with their sheep. A good shepherd will know his sheep, and he'll love his sheep. That kind of depicts an action that's read about in Luke 15, verse 3 through 7, where the shepherd leaves the 99 of his fold who are safe and goes to find the one that is lost. In our text, notice again in verse 11, that's John the 10th chapter, note in verse 11, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. He's called the Good Shepherd because he's our perfect provider. He's called the Good Shepherd because he's our perfect protector. Remember, sheep being defenseless need protection. Indeed, he is our perfect provider and our perfect protector, and we read in 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, "For you are going astray like sheep, but now are returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." Jesus is the perfect provider because he entereth in by the door, chapter 10, verse 2 of the book of John. If you were in Palestine during the days Jesus lived upon the earth, you would have found what they called a common fold. If you've ever been around feedlots like they have in the panhandle in Texas, those big areas where cattle come to be fed waiting for being delivered to become our next steak on the dinner table. Well, they have these big areas where these livestock are held or put into holding. Well, in Palestine, they had big areas like that for sheep, and that was called a common fold. It was always located neat near a big city, and it was a place where the shepherds, when they wanted to go into town for the night, would leave their sheep and then get them the next morning. And when they would come to these common folds, there may be thousands of sheep that were not theirs in there, and there was no barriers or dividers, and they would put their sheep in with all of the others. They would go to the sort of the superintendent of that fold, and that was called a porter. The porter would watch the sheep as the shepherds went into town and slept that night. And early the next morning, the shepherds would come out in order to reclaim his fold. The porter would recognize the shepherd, and he'd let him into the compound. The shepherd would walk in there among the sheep, and he would talk and sometimes sing a song. And his sheep would recognize his voice, and they would follow him out of the fold, and those that were not his sheep, of course, would not recognize his voice as their shepherd, so they would stay there. So anyone getting into that compound, other than through the door where the porter was a thief or a robber. They were there to steal sheep that were not their own. And thus, in the text, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber." And therein is a very beautiful lesson. Only Jesus Christ is qualified to call his own. And that, certainly, you understand as being Christians. But not only does Jesus entereth in by the door, he calleth his own sheep by name. That's in verse 3 of our text. Before you can provide for an animal, you've got to know about that animal. There has to be a relationship established. You have to know the animal's needs in order for him or her to be in good health. I remember one time owning a horse. My daughter wanted a horse so badly. We were getting ready to move out of the state of Arizona back into the Midwest, into Missouri, and we were going to have a little acreage there and a place that a horse could be maintained. My daughter sure wanted that horse. I was kind of skeptical about it, but my wife, having experience with that animal, and my daughter sort of coerced me into buying that horse. So I did, and that horse and I just didn't get along. And I think that's because the horse knew how dumb I was concerning his needs, and he sort of took advantage of me. I remember I would try to put a saddle on the horse, and every time I would get ready to cinch up that saddle, the horse would take a big a breath of air and expand his torso, and I'd pull that cinch tight, and then when I try to get on, the horse would let that air out, and the saddle would fall off, and I'd fall on my rear side. And it was just thing after thing like that with that horse. But I had a friend by the name of Howard Snathan, and Howard Snathan knew a lot about horses. He had a lot on his big ranch up around Buffalo, New York. And when he came to visit me, I took him out and introduced him to this horse because I wanted to make sure that Howard knew that all the horses in the world weren't as smart as the ones that he had. Well, he stayed out in the barn longer than I wanted to, so I went into the house, and my wife said, "Ken, come and look out the window." Well, I did, and here's Howard on that horse, and he looked like a Tennessee Walker. I had never seen a horse that looked any better than that one, and that's because he and Howard had established a relationship. Howard knew exactly what his needs were, knew what to do for him. I guess he even knew how to talk to him, and it seemed to me that the horse was listening. Well, in order to provide for an animal, you've got to know about that animal. And sheep, they hardly ever left their flock. And they're very close, and that's why many times in history you read about shepherds that live with their sheep. That shows the constant companionship that a shepherd had with his sheep. It's sort of like in our culture, the relationship between a boy and his dog. I call to mind the old show Where the Red Fern Grows, and that depicted the close relationship, the loving relationship, the protective relationship that a boy had with his dog. Well, that's the kind of relationship, anyway, that a shepherd would have with his sheep. Jesus was uniquely qualified to provide the spiritual needs of his sheep, which is mankind. You see that again in John the second chapter, verse 24 and 25. There the Bible reads, "For that he knew all men, because he needed not that anyone should hear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." Why would man worry? Jesus knows our needs, and thus, "For your heavenly Father knoweth your needs." Matthew 6 and verse 32. We live in a material-crazed society. It's a precious blessing that Jesus Christ knows our name, for what I am, not what I have. The weekend that Phoenix had with the Super Bowl and the FBR tournament, it just highlighted the crazy things that people do with their resources. And I read where a corner suite at the football arena where the Super Bowl was played at University of Phoenix Stadium, the corner box there sold for $147,000. Well, seems to me that things may be a little out of perspective here. But Jesus Christ knows us. He knows our needs for who we are and not what we have. We may never have our name on a deed for any significant piece of land. We may not live a life that's recorded in a history book somewhere. But I'll tell you what, Jesus knows who we are. To his disciples, he said in Luke the 10th chapter and verse 20, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Well, a third reason that Jesus is a perfect provider is because his sheep hear his voice. That's also in the third verse of the 10th chapter of the book of John. Shepherd had a clear and distinctive voice. I used to enjoy being entertained by an impersonator by the name of Rich Little. I remember one time somebody said that Rich Little sounds more like Johnny Carson than Johnny Carson does. Well, that's because he was able to use his voice to imitate other people in a distinct fashion. The shepherd had a clear and distinct voice. The Word of God, my friend, is the clear and distinctive voice of Jesus Christ. And thus, in Romans 10 and verse 17, we learn that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We learn in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is inspired of God and perfect. That means it allows man to be perfect or mature unto every good work. There's not a good work that the Bible doesn't give us instruction on how to obtain. To be healthy, mankind must have a balanced diet. We know that, most all of us, from exposure we've had to teaching and media advertisement. To be healthy, we've got to have a perfect diet. Spiritually speaking, the gospel is that diet. It's a lot like a battery. We need to be hooked up to the positive terminal and the negative terminal. When we get too much preaching and teaching that's directed from a positive standpoint, or we get too much teaching that is directed to a negative standpoint, it is not good. It leaves us malnourished. Well, Jesus is a perfect provider also, because he leadeth them out and goeth before them. That's verse 4. Chapter 10, Book of John. The shepherd took the lead, and Jesus takes our lead. And he provides for us a perfect path to follow. Peter encouraged downcast Christians when he said, "For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps." 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. You know, the pathway that Jesus left us to follow, the steps that Jesus left us to follow, are remarkably clear. That brings to my mind when I was a grade schooler in southern Indiana. My dad used to go out and he would hunt squirrel. And the time of the year when he would go out, there was a lot of dew on the ground and he would get there early. And I was constantly asking my dad to take me squirrel hunting with him. I had this Daisy BB gun and I was convinced that I could kill as many squirrel as he did. So one morning he took me with him, and he told me when we got out to Dreyer's Woods where he would hunt, he said, "Now just follow in my steps." And I remember so clear that when he would make a step in that dew, it would leave a clear footprint, and I'd have to jump, but I'd try my best to land in that footprint, because I believed that if I followed in the footsteps of my dad, I'd get a squirrel too. Well, I don't think I killed anything with that BB gun, but I'll tell you one thing. When we step into the clear steps, the clear footprints of Jesus Christ, we'll attain heaven. According to Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 10, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. I study some in history, and I like studying the Second World War history, actually. And in those studies, it is so clear that those who followed the Patton and the MacArthurs and the Rummels by going in the pathway and the footsteps that they directed were the successful soldiers. They were able to accomplish in many instances their goals. Well, finally, Jesus is a perfect provider because he has faithful assistance. Jesus is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. Elders, then, are the under shepherds. They tend the flock or tend the church locally, 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. And thus part of God's provision for his children is physical leadership. Then we read, "Obey them that have rule over you. Submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls, as they that shall give account." Hebrews 10 and verse 17. It was a sad day when preachers got into pulpits and taught that elders had no responsibility and no authority within the body of Christ. A church is a stronger church when it's organized according to the pattern that's given into the New Testament. Well, Jesus is also, as we said at the outset of our lesson, a perfect provider. He's a perfect provider because he layeth down his life for the sheep. When the flock couldn't reach that compound outside the city that we talked about earlier, the shepherd would locate a dead-end canyon. We'd call it a box canyon. And he'd herd his sheep into that canyon, and then at the opening of the canyon, he'd take rocks or tumbleweed or whatever was available, and he'd close up that opening until it only had an opening that was as wide as the shepherd was tall. And there he would lay across that opening, protecting his sheep. That's where the phrase, "over my dead body," comes from. That kind of spiritual protection is available today, but it's only available through Jesus Christ. No protection is ever mentioned in the Bible for the backside of a Christian, and that's because a Christian is not one that turns his back to the devil and runs. Armor is available to us, but only as we live the way Jesus wants us to live. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We can stand. The devil cannot get to us as long as we face that temptation head up with the Word of God as our sword and using the armor that Jesus Christ has provided for us. That protection provides for us hope. That's what 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5 reads and teaches us. Note, we're protected by the power of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Certainly, the devil is a worthy adversary. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says that he is out seeking those that he can devour. But our fortress is faith. Faith built by the worship, by the study, by the fellowship, by the prayer that God has put into a plan of salvation that it brought to us by the death of Jesus Christ. The quality that binds us together in all of that worship and study and fellowship and prayer is the love that is talked about in its purity in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. When a person misses worship, when a person refuses to fellowship, when a person will ignore studying the Bible, when a person avoids prayer, then that person is exposing himself to great danger. Jesus Christ is our perfect provider also because he does not leave the sheep. In John 10 and verse 12, he that is a hireling and not a shepherd beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. But a good shepherd never forsakes the sheep, and Jesus is a good shepherd. The result of knowing that allows us to understand Romans 8 and verse 31 that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Also in Romans 8 and verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? And the answer to that is, no one can separate Ken Leach from the love of God except Ken Leach. Like with the perfect provider, Jesus Christ has in this system of religion a faithful assistance. Faithful assistance in protecting the flock. Elders of the church are concerned for the strain, and thus the elders encourage us and they build programs for us to build our strength. They provide for us classes. They provide for us opportunities to engage in work with others in personal work groups. They provide for us a regular preaching of the truth. They provide for us extended meetings where we every day can come and hear the truth of God taught once a year at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. That's held the first full week in November. The elders provide for us clear and timely discipline that shows us the love that they have for our souls. You and I have to remember, friend, God hates sin. That's taught so clearly in Hebrews 1 and verse 13. And the Bible also teaches us that Christ is the cure for every malady of life. Christ is the answer to our salvation. Well, I've enjoyed talking with you today about Jesus Christ, about Jesus being our good shepherd. I hope that you've enjoyed the lesson, and I hope that you will think about the things that the Bible has stated and apply them to your daily life. As with all of our programs on Go and Teach, this one also is available to you at no cost. If you'll go to our website, which is www.montevistacoc.com, that's www.montevistacoc.com, you'll find there an email form. If you'll use that form and give us your name, your address, and what program you want, we'll send that to you just as soon as we can. We sure appreciate you listening with us today. We sure appreciate the opportunity to have 30 minutes of your time. I guess time is the most valuable asset that we have. It's that which cannot be replaced. And when you spend your time studying and considering the things that God has given to us for our salvation, it is a wise expenditure of your resources. I hope that you can come and visit us someday at Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located on 40th Street in between McDowell and Thomas Roads. We're on the west side of the street. Our focus here is the Bible. It is our plan to speak where the Bible speaks, to be silent where the Bible is silent. It is our commitment to you to use only those things that are taught in the Word of God coming from us We have no other creed or doctrine except that which can be read of in the Bible. Well, if you're interested in that kind of basic first century Christianity type of teaching, we look forward to meeting you at one of our worship services. It's my prayer that this week we have ample, even extra opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.